So this morning I'm going to read to you from the prophet Zephaniah. Zephaniah is kind of an interesting prophet. He has the longest, you know how they write the genealogy in the Gospels for Jesus? Well, Zephaniah has the longest lineage, the longest genealogy recorded in any of Scripture, and it goes all the way back to King Hezekiah. Now, King Hezekiah was the one king in Israel that was respectable. There weren't that many kings that really held their water for too long, and so King Hezekiah has gone down in history as being the one righteous king. He instilled a lot of reform in the temple, so it's interesting that Zephaniah is connected to royalty as a prophet. That's also another unusual incidence where he's concerned. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord your God, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. He is a mighty one to save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival, so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in, at that time when I gather you together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of God for us, the people of God, today. So a little boy knelt down to say his nighttime prayers with his mother and his grandmother. God bless Mommy and Daddy, and please give me a good night's sleep. And then he shouted, and don't forget the bicycle I want for Christmas. And his mother said, Joey, there's no need to shout like that. God isn't deaf. The little boy answered, I know, but Grandma is. So this is the time of year for joy with our children, isn't it? I often think that God knew exactly what I needed for Christmas, because regardless of the presents or the meals that I made for our kids, it was celebrating Christmas with children that was the true gift for me, right? Such a gift. Even if you don't have your own children, you remember what it was like to be a child at Christmas, a truly magical time. Off the coast of Northumberland, England, there is an island called Innerfarn, where Cuthbert, the great Celtic healer, went into his hermitage. He went to a solitary cell out in the middle of the ocean on this tiny island with little protection from wind or rain or storm, and he went to attend to spiritual battles, battle with demons, not his own demons, but with the powers and the principalities of the world. You see, in the 6th century, that was a very important role accomplished by few for the sake of the Christian community. There were those that went into a monastic life in order to pray for the community, to battle the principalities and powers on their behalf. So I had the opportunity to visit Innerfarn during the nesting season for Arctic terns. It was June. Now, Arctic terns fly 2,000 miles to build their nests and lay their eggs right there. 2,000 miles they go just to lay their nests there. Whole community of terns populate this island every year in June. And they build these very large nests with sticks, not in the trees, but on the ground, right there where you need to walk. Sticks of nests everywhere. Arctic terns are fiercely protective, and you can imagine they would need to be with the vulnerability of their nests just laying there on the ground in the open. And, of course, on all of the walking paths in the on the island there, all you see are these nests. The Arctic terns will dive bomb your head. They tell you to wear a hat when you go there because they will dive bomb your head in order to keep you away from the paths so that you don't step on their nest. And they tell you to wave your hands over your heads like this when you're walking, so at least they'll hit your hands instead of your head. And yes, indeed, they draw blood when they hit your hand. But I tell you, it is an amazing, amazing experience to be out walking amidst these nests on this island and watching the protectiveness of God's creature over new life. It's instinctual, it is natural, and it reflects order. After Friday in Sandy Hook Elementary School, we ask, where was God in that chaos? Why weren't our children protected? Is God watching over us, ready to protect new life like those creatures? Is God willing to protect his creature, his chosen people? Some people don't think it's right to question God. Some people say this kind of incident is God's will, all part of his plan. Well, I don't agree. Now is exactly the time to question God, to cry out about how frustrating it is to live in such a broken world. Facing our questions and our doubts can lead us to uncovering truth. Truth about God and truth about ourselves. Remember, even the smallest amount of faith, even as small as a mustard seed, is acceptable to God. Now, wrestling with the mystery of God is truly one of the best ways that we can grow in our faith. And Andrea preached on that when she spoke about Job just a few weeks ago. We have this image of Christ on our altar. The barbed wire is that barrier between us and Christ. And yet he is reaching, he is waiting, he is looking, he is hoping. I don't believe the tragedy at Sandy Hook was part of God's plan. God is not to blame. God does not will evil acts to occur. God's plan is for life and for life abundant. Our nation in recent history has experienced multiple acts of violence against innocent lives in schools and businesses and government buildings. And let us not forget that in some foreign countries, violence against children happens on a regular basis. So how does one navigate tragedy again and again, faithfully and hopefully? The prophet Zephaniah was called to speak in a time of great suffering in Judah. Zephaniah was called to speak to those whose spiritual lives honored personal piety, worshiping comfortably with like-minded people while leaving out the rest of the world. Zephaniah warned that in the community of faith, every person you meet has something to do with God. Even those you don't meet has something to do with God. So your faith in God is revealed in how you treat others. Zephaniah painted a vivid picture of God's response to the community of faith in chapter 1. first he spoke and about the day of the Lord. First he spoke about judgment. Zephaniah didn't have any trouble speaking out against sin, beginning with the sin in the community of faith, the wandering and the wavering and the worship of idols, the main idol being money, the lack of compassion. God will punish the lazy, those who care only about themselves. God will punish those with pagan prayers and practices. God will punish the whole community for not keeping God first in their lives. And then Zephaniah said, there will be a remnant of the faithful, a small holy core. In the end, God will turn things around. God will reverse judgment and send the enemies of the faithful away. God will be at the center. God will be so happy to have you back, Zephaniah says. God says he will calm you with his love. He will let all of the sorrows that you've had while you've been living separated and apart and in exile, all of that will go away. All of that will dissipate. God will rid you of all the burdens. God will bring the homeless back home. On Judgment Day, there will be a big family gathering, a big party, all of God's own, and God will sing and dance and rejoice over you as on a day of festival. A singing and dancing and rejoicing God for his faithful. Most of us knows what it feels like to be chosen at least once by someone. To be loved at least once by someone. And that chosenness, that being loved by someone, brings great joy. This is the kind of joy that Zephaniah was speaking about, that God has chosen and is overjoyed to be in relationship with his people. God will renew the faithful no matter what. No judgment even. The judgment will be turned around and will be reversed because God has brought the victory. Zephaniah used this expression, "The Lord is near." Zephaniah, whose name means the Lord hides. Interesting, the irony that we find in Scripture over and over again, right? His name is the Lord hides, and he's telling the community, the Lord is near. The Lord is in your midst. Advent is the season of waiting for Emmanuel, for God with us, for God in our midst. The Lord is near. We find hope in the knowledge that Christ came to dwell in our midst. Hope, yes, hope is in our midst. Remember that God entered into the world weak and vulnerable and in need on a cold night in a stable, a humble and helpless infant God who allowed us to come near. In Bethlehem, God took on a human body. Now here's the thing. Listen up. Christmas is still about God taking on a human body. Your human body. God is not looking for a business partner or a good friend. God is looking for a human heart. One such heart God found this week was 27-year-old Victoria Soto. You might have read about her. She was one of the teachers at Sandy Hook. Put her 15 kids in a closet in her classroom, and when the gunman showed up, told him that the kids were in the gym. Victoria had the kind of heart that God lives and dwells in. Rather than responding to the tragedies in our world by increasing the ratchets on law and morality, God desires hearts that recognize the world's hurts, compassion, and our own deep need for forgiveness. God wants our complete attention. He wants all of us. He wants hearts that are untrapped by sin, by burdens of idol worship, by pagan practices. God wants hearts that are free to love. God wants human hearts to encounter Christ and then to be Christ for others. God wants us to be His children. Did you ever just have one of those experiences where a kid just throws their arms around your neck in love? Did you ever have that kind of experience? God wants us to be children like that. Can we allow ourselves to be enchanted by God, to be like little children, to allow our imagination to dream of God's goodness in the midst of an increasingly difficult world? That's what hope is. That's what hope is. Hope also faces the truth. God didn't just come near in Christ. He lived and dwelled among us. God is concerned with our daily lives. Hope knows that the details of our lives matter to God. Every single little detail. How we live our lives matters to God. The Lord is near. Nothing is hidden. God sees the sin in our lives. What if we lived as if God was here and nothing was hidden? What if we lived with the kind of expectation that God would show up every day in our midst, our daily activities, urging us to face the reality of our own need to change in order for the world to change? We can't love God and then just ignore or mistreat the people around us. We can't love God and ignore those who are suffering outside the boundaries of community. Those people like Adam Lanza, suffering with mental illness. The church is to be a witness of a transformed life. The church is to be a community with sin rooted out. The church is to be a place of living blamelessly, to make life in God so real for others that others know that God is near. Hope also acknowledges that God dwells in heaven, and we cannot possibly understand what that means this side of eternity. Hope lives beyond what we can understand. I've been thinking a lot about that story, The Littlest Angel, this week. Do you know that story? About the little angel in heaven who's looking to bring a gift to the Christ child, and thinking about the 20 children who lost their lives this week, newest angels in heaven. Some of the things that we can't understand are described in the Bible. There were characters that endured loss, horrible hardship and loss, and then God used them to save others. Remember Joseph? Joseph was beaten. He was thrown in a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery. How bad can it get? And later he becomes the one person who saves all of Israel in a time of famine. Some of God's characters in Scripture seem to have the least amount of integrity, and yet they were used by God to do amazing things. Remember Jacob? Jacob who stole Esau's, he stole Esau's birthright right out from under his brother, stole it from him. There is so much that we cannot understand. But my friends, we can hope because God is near. Hope also takes action. Hope takes a leap of faith. God wants bodies with hope. One, a body like the Virgin Mary, who said, "For nothing will be impossible with God." The miracle of God dwelling within her didn't depend on her. It was God's miracle. And the miracle of God dwelling with us does not depend on us either. It is the miracle of God who reaches out to us each and every day. Hope is the response that embodies God's love. Hope carries God's love out into a broken world. like Mary and Joseph and all of those families in the Sandy Hook community, we all have journeys that we would rather not take. We need to remember this time of year that that is the beginning of the story of the birth of Emmanuel, of the birth of God with us. The story of God with us, of God in our midst, is a personal story. And it is also the story of community. Into a broken world came a Savior, one who came not to condemn, but to save the whole world. For nothing other than love, God saves us. Like the Arctic Terns up there in Northumberland, England, we are vulnerable. And God sent protection for His creatures. God sent His Son to restore order to our broken world through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer to every tragedy and illness, natural disaster and act of violence. Hope is here in our midst. Hope remembers God, singing and dancing over His people. Yes, today we can rejoice. Hope is in our midst. Let us pray. Lord Christ, we thank You that through Emmanuel we are able to know a God who is in our midst. Pour out Your Spirit upon us that each of us might acknowledge Your presence in our lives and live in the hope of Your loving blessing, and rejoice in the knowledge that You are singing and dancing over Your chosen people. May each of us live truly redeemed lives so that we can be those who carry that in our bodies out into the world to redeem others. Amen.